Good evening and welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Now folks, growing up, there were few things that said summer quite like a cornfield. Growing up in Southeast Ohio, a cornfield represented certain times of the year. Knee-high by the 4th of July was a common phrase around there. And there's one thing you notice about cornfields if you spend a lot of time near one. They're downright creepy. Maybe it's the way the rows seem to go on forever, or how they transform after dark into an organic labyrinth where anything could be waiting, just out of sight. So tonight we're revisiting some of our favorite listener encounters from the cornrows. Stories of strange creatures, unexplained lights, and eerie experiences hidden among the stalks. Welcome to the Best of Corn episode. And we're going to kick things off here tonight with a call from Season 17, Episode 4. Kendra from Canada. Welcome back to the show.
Hey Derek, my name's Kendra. I'm 20 years old. I just wanted to call in about a time, I want to say I was 6 or 7. I lived in Wheatley, Ontario at this time on a farm. I want to say our closest neighbor was about 4-minute drive away. And we were kind of on the corner of a dirt road and a paved road. So at the end of this dirt road, the corner was called Devil's Corner, as many of us knew it, or many different names as it was called, because it was a very sharp corner. And I want to say if you're going about 80 and you didn't know the road, you most times would get into a crash there. But this is actually my mom's story. At the time, my mom was seeing a guy who had 3 kids, and my mom has me and my sister. So there was 5 kids home, including me. And at this time, my mom's boyfriend was gone away for work. It was later at night. She was coming home from, I want to say, the feed store or something. But she was taking the dirt road, and she had what kind of looks like somebody walking down the dirt road. And mind you, there's no street lamp. There's just pretty much the moon and stars at this point to light everything up. Our dog, Rocky, started losing his mind as my mom was getting closer. He was shaking, he was growling, he was barking. He was, as my mom told me, almost breaking the window trying to get at this person. And my mom ended up getting him into the back seat and rolled down her window and went to holler to see if he was okay. But when she got closer, she could see that this man was covered in blood, had ripped clothes. I think he was missing a shoe. And there was only one farm on this road, and it was our good friend. They had horses and stuff, but his name was Wes. So she was wondering why this gentleman wouldn't have gone and knocked on Wes's door if he needed help. But anyways, she rolled down her window. She hollered if he needed help. And when she said this guy turned around and looked at him, it's almost like he had white eyes. And then he was almost see-through. Like, she said she could see the corn through him. Anyways, she ended up booking it home and locking the front door. And at that time, we had a shotgun by our front door just because we did have a known cougar to be in our area. And with 5 young kids and a whole bunch of animals, she just didn't want to risk it. Anyways, she ended up talking to Wes about this because it was something that's on her mind. We still talk about it 15 years later. Anyways, Wes ended up saying it was a gentleman who ended up crashing way back when. But I just wanted to call in and let you know. Thanks, Derek. Bye.
Now, keeping with the theme of strangers in the corn, please welcome from Season 14, Episode 9, Ireland, from the state of Minnesota.
My name is Ireland. I am from southern Minnesota, and I was driving home from work. It was mid-afternoon in this time of year. The corn is high, so we have a lot of field corn and sweet corn and whatnot on most of our roads around here, and I myself live out in the country in a very rural area, so to go home, you pass by cornfields. there's tall corn on each side of the road. And I was just, you know, kind of doing my normal routine, driving home from work. And I was watching, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 yards ahead of me and on the road, a person on a bicycle was driving their bike from the right side of the road to the left side of the road. And in and of itself, that wasn't really that strange. But the weird part, it was one of those really, really old-fashioned bicycles with the huge exaggerated front wheel and like the tiny handlebars and the smaller back wheel. And I just thought, well, that's weird. You know, somebody must have got a bike at like a rummage sale or like an antique shop and they're taking it, you know, for a ride. But I didn't even think those things actually worked. So anyway, I watched it go from the right side of the road to the left side of the road. And that when I got up to it, it just wasn't there. Like it drove into the cornfield. But that's not possible because corn, I mean, you could maybe weave in and out of it if you wanted to, but it's too thick. You can't ride a bicycle in a cornfield at the beginning of September. It's just impossible. So when I first saw it, I thought, well, that's weird, you know, that somebody has this antique bike. And then when I got up to it and saw it wasn't there, then I kind of realized maybe I didn't see what I thought I saw, or maybe it was my imagination. I don't know, but I can't think of anything that could have possibly been this strange looking bike and somebody riding it. There's no like ATV or regular bikes that would have looked exactly like this and what went into the cornfield, but it was really strange. So anyway, that's what I saw. It was the middle of the afternoon, so it was daylight. I could see it plain as day from one side of the road to the next. And then it was just gone. There was no bike or person in the cornfield after that. Anyway, I very much enjoy your podcast. I commute to and from work, and I religiously listen to it. So please keep up what you're doing. Thank you, and have a great day.
Creepy stuff, Ireland. Now, folks, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more corn stories right after this. Now here's something about me. I really can't stand giving out a generic gift. I pride myself on finding something special every single time. But as the years go on, it's getting harder and harder to find that perfect, unique gift for those certain, hard-to-shop-for people in my life. Thankfully, I've discovered Zazzle, a custom marketplace where you can basically take any product, whether it's a mug, a tote, a bag, or a phone case, and make it mean something. You're not buying a gift, you're making one. You can browse millions of designs or start from scratch and build something completely on your own. Either way, you're the designer. Everything is made on demand, so nothing is ever out of stock. Over 300 million customers have trusted Zazzle with their most important gifts, and yours is next. And Zazzle isn't just for creating unique gifts. I recently made flyers to put in every merchandise order with help from Zazzle. And you can design and print everything from business cards to invitations. Shipping was fast and creating the flyer was really easy. Right now, save 25% on your first order at Zazzle.com. That's 25% savings on your first order at Zazzle.com. Go make something that's amazing. Zazzle.com. There's also a link in the show notes. Now, folks, with another story about people in the corn, please welcome James from Season 12, Episode 17.
Hey, Derek, this is James. This story, I'm not sure if it's paranormal, but I'm also not sure that it's not paranormal. It is creepy, though. Around 2008, I want to say it was, I was living in Phoenix, Arizona at the time. Me and my cousin were sharing an apartment together. And one weekend, we were going to go take a trip with a friend of his who was Native American. And we were going to go drive up to New Mexico. And we were going to go over to visit some relatives of my cousin's friend. Well, anyways, from the original drive leaving our apartment from Arizona up to New Mexico, late at night when we were in New Mexico, we were on a long stretch of highway at one point, and there was no street lights, there was no houses or businesses or gas stations. It was just dark. The only light there was from the headlights. And it was just like corn stalks alongside the road, pretty much right as far as you could see at the time. And when we were driving, all of a sudden, moments before we passed them in the light of the headlights, a guy stepped out of the corn into the headlight. It just happened so quickly in an instant. We were all just like, oh my God, did you see that? And in the rearview mirrors or out the back window, you couldn't see nothing because it was just total darkness. Like I said, it was just a long stretch of highway. So, you know, if it was an apparition, a full body apparition, and it was just completely solid, I mean, it looked like a normal, regular guy stepping out. And if it was a regular guy stepping out, that's creepy too, because, you know, we're all just like, what is this guy doing out here in the middle of nowhere in a cornfield and just stepping out of the corn right as we're driving by? And I don't remember if he looked at us or if he was looking straight ahead. Because like I said, almost as soon as we saw him, we were driving by him. Because he just so quick, like we only saw him for like a couple seconds. I sort of feel like he was just looking straight ahead. But again, I don't know if that's paranormal or not. It was creepy. Love the podcast, Derek. Bye.
A big thanks to James for that phone call. Now, folks, if you have a story you would like to share, you can do so by submitting to our hotline at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or you can email a voice recording to monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Now, folks, this next entry takes us to Texas. Please welcome Joe to the program.
So my name is Joe, and I am from Texas. And in the summertime, I used to go to my grandma's house in a small village about an hour south of the border of Mexico. The town was, Valhermoso, Tamaulipas was the big city, but if you traveled like maybe 15, 20 minutes outside of that bigger city, there's a small village named La Jarita, close to Valhermoso, Tamaulipas. When I started going over there in the summer, I would hear these stories about this shadow man that would show up at night because this village is out there surrounded by cornfields. So they didn't even have indoor bathrooms back then. And it was one time that when my mom's neighbor had to go to the restroom at an outhouse behind her house, she screamed really loud. Everybody came running. And she said she saw a shadow person staring at her while she was using the outhouse out there. All the neighbors gathered up, went through the cornfield, searched around. They couldn't find anybody. Then my cousins one time were asleep in their room. It felt like somebody was staring at them through the windows because they didn't have any AC units either. So they would sleep with the windows open. And my both cousins screamed really loud. My uncle woke up. My aunt woke up, and they said that there was a shadow person staring through the window. So my uncle ended up putting bars on the windows, and they actually bought an AC unit because they didn't want to sleep with the windows open anymore. And so this shadow person would appear on one side of the town, the other side of town, because all of the whole town was surrounded by cornfields. And in the town, there was a old lady that was the witch of the village. And she would pay us to bring her owl legs for her witchcraft. And so whenever we would find an owl, we would kill it by throwing either rocks or the slingshot. And they would die, and they were huge. And we would cut the legs off, and we would send them to her, and she would use it for her witchcraft. And so one day, a bunch of friends of mine from the ages between 8 all the way up to 16, 17, we were playing a game of touch. In Spanish, it's called congelado. And across the street from where we were playing touch at, there was an abandoned ranch we stare across the cornfield to that abandoned barn over there, and there's like at least 3 or 4 huge white owls flying around in circles. And we all point at them, oh, look, there's some owls flying around over there. Let's go kill them and take the legs off to sell them to the witch of the village. So we stopped playing touch. We started walking through the cornfield that night. It's pretty dark, but the moon is a full moon that day, so it's pretty bright. As we're walking towards the barn, we get pretty close to it. We're talking over there. We're walking, like, in a group, but we're kind of, like, marching, like, side by side, at least 7 of us. As we get close to the barn, we start feeling a bunch of rocks falling from the sky, but they're not stone rocks. They're rocks of dirt, like mud rocks. So they start hitting us on the back and on the head, and they're breaking apart as they're falling down. A lot of them, like if it was raining rocks. And so we start like, what the heck, who's throwing rocks at us, thinking there's somebody throwing rocks from the abandoned barn towards where we're at. So we start grabbing rocks, start throwing them back at this barn where these owls are flying over. And so we're throwing rocks, we're throwing rocks, we're throwing rocks. And I'm at the very right side of this group. Like we're in a line side by side. I'm on the very far right. The corn is pretty tall. It's at least over our head, for sure. And in the corner of my eye, to the right side, I see like a black figure. It looks like the shape of a person, but squatting down on the corner. Very clearly, I see it. I can only see their eyes, kind of bright white. And I'm looking at it, and I'm throwing rocks towards the barn. But I'm also kind of like looking at this thing on the corner of my eye, and I stop throwing rocks and I look at it and I start staring at it, and I'm like, who's that? I told my friends in Spanish, you know, I say, hey guys, stop throwing rocks. Who's this person squatting down right next to us? And everybody stops throwing rocks. And when we stop throwing rocks and focus on this person, or what we think is the person, the rocks stop falling, like nobody's throwing rocks at us anymore. We're looking at it, but we can't see like any shape. It looks like a human, but there's no nose, no, it's like a shadow, but we can definitely see the eyes. And me and my friends are like, hey, who are you? And we're talking at it, all of us. There's like 7 of us. And one of my friends that's like the tough guy of the group had a baseball bat, and he comes pretty close to her and he says, if you don't tell me who you are, I'm going to hit you with my bat. And when he says that, that person thing pops up in the air, like jumps up and stands up, and is pretty tall. My friend throws the bat at it and runs in the opposite direction, and we all just run. But I was so scared that I couldn't run fast. I remember trying to run, but I couldn't. I was running really slow. And we start running towards the village. And I look back to see it. And it's running behind me, but in such a weird way, in such a creepy way. It's kind of like skipping with its arms running up and down, very weird. I got even more scared watching it run behind me, that creepy, that I almost froze, but my friend grabbed me and pulled me. I was like, come on, let's go. Get to the edge of the cornfield, and the first house out of the cornfield into the village is my uncle's house. And by the time I get there, they already had knocked on my uncle's door, and they said, hey, that shadow thing, it's in the cornfield chasing us. My uncle whistles, screams to the whole village. Nobody even asked any questions. Everybody brought their shotguns out, their guns, everything. The whole village gathered up with their flashlights, and they're like, let's look for it. And us, the kids, we stayed there. The adults went in the cornfield to the back of the village. There was also like a small forest. They went into the forest with cars, trucks, guns, searched for the thing all night. They couldn't find it. But they didn't even ask us any questions because they already knew what it was. And so me and my friends were like, oh my God, that was crazy. What was that? And so nothing happened for a while. And then one day, we end up going to a quinceañera, which is like a sweet 16, but for 15 years old in Mexico. And so I go with my uncle, my aunt, and my cousin. It ends up finishing like around 12 o'clock at midnight. We come back at midnight back to the village, to my uncle's home, where I'm staying at for the summer. And my uncle and my aunt have this weird thing. I don't know if they're the only ones that do this, but where my uncle goes, uses the restroom at the outhouse, which is behind the house, my aunt would always accompany him, take toilet paper and the flashlight, and she would wait outside while he used the restroom. And so we get back from the quinceañera. They put the kids to bed and everything in the room. On the other room, the AC had broke down, so the kids were going to all sleep in one room with my uncle. And I'm in there while they're laying down going to sleep, and my aunt and my uncle go to the restroom. And all of a sudden, my aunt comes running in by herself, really scared, goes inside the room where I'm at, and the kids are asleep, and she just doesn't even say anything. She just goes straight to the closet, and I'm like, what is she doing? She's going through the closet looking for something. All of a sudden, she turns around with a handgun and some bullets. Handgun on one side, bullets on the other side of it. And she looks at me and she says, here, go help your uncle. He's chasing that thing again. And I was so scared that I said one of the most weakest things I could say. I said, no, I'll stay here with the kids. You go with my uncle. And she said, heck no, I'm not staying here with the kids. You're the man. You go help your uncle find that thing. So I'm like, damn. So I get the gun and I get the bullets. And I have the bullets on my right hand and the gun on my left. And I start walking to the back. She locks the door, make sure nobody comes in. And I'm out there looking for my uncle in the cornfield, trying to help him find this creature. And I keep whispering in Spanish. I say, uncle, where are you? It's me. Uncle, where are you? I didn't even put the bullets in the gun. The gun had no bullets because that's how scared I was. But I kept the bullets in my right hand. And I keep on whispering, uncle, where are you? Where are you? And I hear him say, hey, don't shoot me. I'm walking up towards you. And he does. I see him and I'm like, oh, I feel so relieved. I said, here. I give him the bullets. I give him the gun. He said, you need to put the bullets inside the gun. I'm like, I'm shaking. I'm so scared. I don't know what to do. And so we end up waking up the neighbors again. They all grab their rifles and their flashlights. And we, again, start looking for it through the woods, through the cornfield. We could not find it. We never found out what that thing was. We never found it. And that's the last time I remember hearing about that shadow person, that creature in the cornfield. But it didn't happen once. It happened multiple times, and it happened to different people. And that is my story. I hope you guys enjoy it.
A big thanks to Joe for calling in. And if you'd like to hear my commentary on that story, go to Season 20, Episode 15. All right, folks, time for another quick break. But we'll be right back.
Because it was illegal or practically inaccessible.
You know, things feel more relaxing and easygoing in the summertime. People are off on vacation. The days are longer and a little more chill. And I find myself reaching for the same comfortable go-anywhere pieces from my closet each summer. And that's why I keep coming back to Quince. They focus on high-quality essentials that naturally become those everyday staples you live in all season long. Quince has all the wardrobe staples for summer, like 100% European linen shorts and shirts starting at just $34. Their tees are soft and breathable, and their lightweight cotton sweaters are perfect for cooler summer nights. The best part is everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middleman, so you're paying for quality, not brand markup. Quince also goes way beyond clothing. They've become a trusted favorite for everything from home to travel and everyday essentials. Lately, I've been living in Quince's Flownet Breeze Performance Tee. It's the perfect basic t-shirt for morning walks, lounging, or a casual lunch. And it comes in 8 colors, so you can wear it multiple times a week if you wanted to. Make your summer wardrobe easier. So go to quince.com/MAU for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/MAU for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/MAU. There's also a link in the show notes.
It's all right here.
This isn't just a promise. It's our tradition.
Now this next entry takes us to Tennessee. Please welcome Barry from Season 15, Episode 3.
Hi, Derek. This is Barry calling from Tennessee. Calling today for experiences I've had involving what you and some other callers have referred to as slippage or slipping. This is something I've had experience with. It's a little different from what I've heard most of your callers report. I tend to notice things around me. Obviously, not going to say I notice everything all the time, but I think I'm quite a bit more observant than the average person. Some of my slips that I've experienced, they tend to be very minor things, but it happens somewhat often. Things where I'll be talking to a person, and then I'll turn around, look back at them, and their shirt will be a different color, or their hairstyle will be different. Very minor things. And in my mind, like, I'm positive that 5 minutes ago they were wearing a blue shirt, and now it's yellow, or something of that nature, or maybe they had their hair just down flat, and all of a sudden it's spiked up or parted. Just minor things, but it's something different. And it's happened to me so many times that I almost don't even question it, because it's one of those things that you can tell people you've seen ghosts or seen Bigfoot, and those kind of go along with it, or, you know, a lot of people believe in it, but you try to tell people you slip through other dimensions or universes, and that one kind of gets some funny looks. Here recently, actually this just in this past week, so there is a road that leads away from my house. For probably about the past 4 years, I drive down this road at least 3 times a week. Not a super long road. It's maybe 2 miles long, neither secluded nor super busy, probably around 15,000 cars a day. So it's well-traveled, but not heavily traveled. Just a little two-lane road. Well, as I leave my house, on the right-hand side of this road is a cornfield. Well, this past week, as I was driving past this cornfield, I glanced over and there was a big hill in the middle of this cornfield. I first thought, oh, that's odd. Where'd that come from? I know it's been really hot. I've seen some sidewalks and asphalt buckling, but I wouldn't expect to see that much land shift. Then driving past it a couple days later, and it's still this giant hill. Only now the corn from it has been harvested, so it's just the stalks. So I can clearly see that the ground actually has this hill, this curvature to it. For the past 4 years driving past it, I could swear this land has been flat. Again, I can see that the corn has been harvested, so that kind of puts some other things in place for me, because had somebody been prepping the land, you can move dirt around, you can create a hill. You can create a hill and even sod the grass fairly quickly. You cannot create a hill and transplant fully grown corn ready to harvest. I can't explain it. I would swear that this piece of land was flat. And again, like I said, I've driven down this road 3 times a week the past 4 years. I've gone back and looked at some topographical maps of the area, and they all show that curvature being there. which would stand to reason if I'm the one flipping. So I, again, it's probably the strangest flip experience I've had. It's usually just clothing or hairstyles, something very minor changing. This is an actual geographical change that I've noticed now. I can't explain it. It's a little different from most of the ones I've heard on your show. I believe in season 9, episode 19, you had a call from Steve. His actually seems to be the most similar to what I've experienced. Plan on calling in my experience anyway, and then I heard his call, and yeah, I just wanted to call mine in, see what you think about it, if any of your other listeners have some thoughts, or if anybody's experienced anything similar. Thank you very much. Love the show. Bye.
Thank you, Barry. Now, next up, we have an entry from Van in the state of Iowa.
Hey there, Derek. My name is Van. I've called in a couple times before, but I am currently listening to season 17, episode 17, in which you shared a couple calls about Big Feet that were seen in and around corn. Now, I also grew up around corn, like you mentioned you did. I grew up in Iowa, which is, you know, the corn capital of the world, so there's corn everywhere you see. And I only ever had one creepy experience with it, but it was enough to, well, let's just say it happened like 8 years ago, and I still remember it vividly. Now, this didn't actually happen in Iowa. This happened in Illinois. I was going to school at a small university about half an hour west of Springfield, Illinois. Now, this university, it was Lincoln Christian University. It was quite literally in the middle of the cornfield. We were surrounded by corn on three sides for miles and miles. And I like to take walks pretty late at night around campus, like 2 a.m, kind of late. So I was walking around campus, and the road that ran up the campus ran parallel with the cornfield. It was just like a country road that is stereotypically Midwestern. Rock road that you can think of. But I was walking along this road late at night when I started hearing carnival music playing off in the distance in the corn. I mean, like, I distinctly heard it loud and clear coming from probably only a couple hundred feet into the corn. There weren't any other accompanying sounds. There weren't any lights, like lanterns or anything. No other voices. I didn't see anything. All I heard was this creepy, like, slow, wind-up carnival music. You know, like in the movies when the merry-go-round inevitably starts up by itself and it starts really slow and starts picking up speed? That's what I heard coming from the middle of a cornfield at 2 a.m. in Illinois. I definitely didn't stick around to see what it was. I'm not saying that I think that there was a creepy clown wandering the cornfields of Illinois. All that I know is that even if it was just someone in the field at 2 a.m. playing a recording of creepy clown music, that in and of itself is freaky. Not even to mention what else it could have been. But yeah, that was about it. I turned tail and ran back to my dorm, and that was my last 2 a.m. walk that I took around campus for the remainder of the time there until I graduated. But I love the podcast. Keep doing what you're doing, and I hope you have a good day. All right, bye-bye.
A big thanks to Van for calling in as well. And if you'd like to hear that call in its natural habitat, go to Season 21, Episode 2. Now next up, we hear from Pete from Season 20, Episode 13, and all the way from the state of Alabama.
Derek, what's up? This is Pete, Southeast Alabama. I have a very, at least in my mind, credible black cat story that I wanted to share with you guys. Back in the fall of 2020, I was working a part-time job reading water meters for Henry County in Alabama, more specifically the city of Abbeville. I had gotten up this one particular morning to go read the meters. I always kind of prepare myself. It was a once-a-month situation, so I would go to bed early the night before and usually get started right around the crack of dawn, at least get my car and head that way. I live about 40 minutes from where I went to do the work. So this particular morning, it was a brisk fall morning, very clear out. I want to say it was maybe 7:15-ish in the morning, so sun had already come up. I had really good visibility. I had turned on the road that would carry me back that way, just outside Eufaula, just crossing into the city limits of Abbeville. So the street that I was traveling down had really large corn. It was grown up probably 5 or 6 feet on both sides of the road. As I'm driving, roughly 15 to 20 yards in front of me, I see some movement in the brush on the side of the road, kind of catch it out the corner of my eye. And out I see an animal that I can only describe as a large black cat take one leap from off the side of the median of the road, jump into the center line of the road, and take one leap from the center line of the road into the brush on the other side of the street. So basically the cat was able to, because I guess it was running full speed at the time, able to clear the entire road in one leap. Just so you kind of have an idea why I feel so strongly that this was what it was, I'm an owner of a large, tiny Corso. This dog's about 135 pounds. Whatever this cat was, I would guesstimate was at minimum the size of my dog, a little larger if I had to say, and when it was outstretched in its full leap, it had to be close from, you know, tail to front feet, roughly 8 feet. It had a long tail, very muscular body. I know for certain I saw what I saw. Man, we love the podcast. You are the man. Thank you so much for what you do. Have a good one.
Thank you, Pete, for sharing the entry. Now, if you've ever seen a set of eyes staring back at you from the cornrows, well, then this next one just might strike a nerve. It comes to us from John, from the state of Connecticut, and originally aired on Monsters Among Us Beyond number 54.
Hey, Derek, I'm John. I currently live in Connecticut. I grew up in New York, as did my wife, and this is actually her story. She's a paranormal magnet, and I'm the opposite. This is about 43 years ago when she was around 7 years old. She lived in Lyons, New York on Ridge Road, and it was just after sunset. It was a cloudy day during the summer, and she and her brother were out trying to catch lightning bugs in the back of the house that they lived on. And I think he was around 9 or 10, and they were walked about a quarter mile from their house, and behind their house were fields that farmers used, and in between the fields was a drainage ditch, which was about 4 to 5 feet deep, because she's brought me back there and showed me the place where she had this experience. And there's trees in there, and that's the only trees you're going to see, and it's squared off to divide the fields up. They'd been chasing one stubborn lightning bug for a couple minutes, and she was on the edge of that drainage ditch, reaching out in front of her, just over her head, when she said, two eyes just appeared. They were yellowish green in color, and basically like a human eye, but all the whites would glow. You know, there was a center pupil that you couldn't, that was just black. And it was even with her in height, but she said the size of the eyes was if you took like two of those plastic Easter eggs and set them about 6.5-7 inches apart. That was the size of them. They were just huge. And once those opened up in front of her face, her brother saw them too. They both immediately turned left, screaming, and ran a quarter mile back to the house. Of course, her brother left her in the dust. And she had told me this story years ago and asked me what I thought it was. And I was like, well, I can't really think of anything. She was always figuring it was a bear. I was like, no, because if that was a bear standing that tall, mind you, she was about 4 feet tall. So whatever this was had to be 8 to 9 feet tall. I was like, if it was a bear and you ran, it would have chased you, because that's just what they do. That's in their nature. And it wasn't until, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 years ago, I was watching a Bigfoot show, and the people investigating said that Bigfoot can make their eyes glow in the dark. Not a reflection of light, because, like I said, it was a cloudy night, and there was no light to reflect to have an eye shine. So I was like, wow, that actually fits. The size is right, the height is right, and apparently males make their eyes glow red, and females make their eyes glow green. And that's the color she saw. So I told her it had to be a female Bigfoot. Man, she refuses to believe it. But that's the only thing that makes sense. So I don't know if anybody else has had encounters like that, but love the podcast. That's the story. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
Hey, Derek, it's John. I called in a couple of weeks ago with my wife's experience about seeing the glowing eyes in a ditch in the field. Since I've called, we've actually gone back to the site. My wife has a girlfriend that lives just maybe a mile down the road from where the encounter happened. We went back for a visit, and just discussing with her, we nailed down the time as 1977. I think my wife was 11 and her brother was 12 or 13, so it was a little bit different there. Yeah, we went out to the field roughly within 30-foot radius of where she saw it, because there was a couple things I'd heard in some of the other stories about glowing eyes, and maybe it was an owl, and I wanted to see for myself. But there wasn't a big enough tree in that area that would have supported a big owl. Mostly just some bushes, shrubs, nothing really big enough to support the weight of an owl. And I had a tape measure with me, and the average height would have been about 7.5 to 8 feet from the ground of the ditch to where she saw the eyes. And we were there probably around noon, and as the sun started getting down, my wife was getting pretty antsy. It still scares her to this day. And it looked like it was about a 250, 300 yard run down to the house where they were staying. Yeah, I just wanted to update you with a few more details. Still love the podcast. Keep it up, man. Thanks.
Thanks again, John, for calling in.
I'm going to call him a friend of the pro.
The guy that called up last week to let you know that I was about
for ways we could go with this one, but
flaws and to the health of its people.
And of course, it's...
Now, folks, it seems like Sasquatch enjoys an ear of corn now and then. And Phoebe might have caught him in the act. Please welcome her from Season 17, Episode 17, in the state of Oregon. And I'm going to go ahead and share some of the original commentary from that episode right after her call.
Hi, my name is Phoebe. I'm from Eastern Oregon. And my story takes place when I was, I think, 6 or 7 years old. I was over at my friend's house and lived in a very small town at the time. She also lived kind of in the central part of the little town. And we were just playing in her house, and she had this big bay window looking out. There was a driveway, and then past that, her parents had a cornfield. I don't even know what time of year it was. Maybe the end of the summertime. It was a bright, like, sunny day. I'm pretty sure we were, like, the only ones in the house. And we were, you know, just playing on the couch. I don't even know why, but we're, you know, facing not the window. And for whatever reason, we both decide to kind of, like, I don't know if we hear a noise or if we just both get this urge to like peek over the couch and look out the window. So we both look out the window, and in the cornfield, I swear, and she must have saw it too because it scared us. So we like kind of tucked back under the couch and like, you know, we're both like freaking out, kind of like our heart is racing and we're like, what was that? So when we peer over the couch, we see this, like, well, at least I see this huge creature. You know, it's taller than the corn, and it's, like, hairy to me, and the face is, like, not really, like, a human face, but just something that kind of resembles a human, and just, you know, when we peek back over to the couch, like, it was gone, and I don't remember what happened after that. I don't know if we were, like, scared and then we went to go find her parents or what, but, I mean, to me, I swear it was a Bigfoot. And, like, at that time, I mean, I don't think I ever really knew what a Bigfoot was, because growing up, like, I wasn't really allowed to watch TV or to really watch anything that was scary. And, I mean, this was at least, you know, 30 years ago. So, yeah, just to this day, I feel like I saw Bigfoot, and unfortunately, like, I don't remember really talking to her about it, and she moved away. And I always want to, like, find her, you know, somehow, and, like, you know, ask her, because it always stuck with me what I saw, and was it real, and, you know, just the sheer, like, panic that we had. I mean, she was panicky, too, so I don't know if we were just scared because, like, I think we might have been alone in the house. I don't remember where our parents were at the time, but... So, yeah, that was my encounter, what I think was a Bigfoot. So, yeah, thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Phoebe. Now, I grew up around corn, so I know firsthand how creepy it can be between the rows. There's something unsettling about the fields this time of year. The corn is pretty high. You can get disoriented pretty easily. You know, they turn those things into mazes for a reason. And somehow I'd always thought that there were monsters out in the corn when I was a youngster. Either known monsters, a bear, a pack of coyotes or something. Or the imagined. The shadows slipping between the rows. The scarecrow you swear you just saw move. Or in Phoebe's situation. A Sasquatch-like creature peeking between the stalks. Now if you think about it, if there are creatures like that out there, Bigfeet, we'll call them, it makes perfect sense that they would be attracted to fields of corn. Not only is it a good place to hide out, but it's also a perfect food supply. And that's not to mention all the animals that the corn brings in, that a monster could feed off of. Deer, squirrel, rats, insects. The list continues. And trust me when I say there is plenty of corn out there. Last year alone, the U.S. produced 15.3 billion bushel of corn. Now, a bushel is about the size of a normal round laundry basket. So that's a lot of corn. Now, if this symbiotic relationship is real, then we have to suspect that other people have seen Bigfoot in and around cornfields. And based on our research, that seems to be the case. Just as I suspected it would be. And the following is an example of one of those experiences. This report was submitted to the BFRO website and took place near Kenton, Tennessee, back in 2007. I was probably 12 at the time, and it was the summer, so my grandparents would allow my sister, 10 at the time, and I to have sleepovers at their house. There were probably 7 of us staying over that night. And we had been outside all day and were all from the area. Around 11 p.m., we decided to go outside because we were being loud and my grandparents had gone to bed. We had done this probably half a dozen times over the summer. And we had been outside for probably 30 minutes to an hour when we started to hear odd noises in the cornfield across the road and the sound of corn stalks breaking. This continued over the next probably 20 to 30 minutes. As a bunch of 10 to 12-year-old girls, we ignored the sounds and kept talking, all while my grandparents' 3 dogs were sitting in front of us, tails tucked, growling like something was in the cornfield that was maybe 50 yards from where we were sitting. We heard a loud scream from the cornfield as something came out of the field right in front of us. It was a tall humanoid creature, covered in dark brown hair that was slightly taller than the corn, which was about 6 or 7 feet at the time. We looked at the creature and took off running back toward the house, leaving all of our things outside. Those are 2 eerily similar stories, submitted from opposite sides of the country. The one common denominator, aside from the 8-foot hairy hominid, was corn. Interesting stuff, Phoebe, and we thank you for sharing it here with us. I can only imagine how deeply the image of that creature emerging from the corn is burned into your memory. But boy, does it make for a great, scary story. No, a big thanks again to Phoebe for sharing. And a big thanks to Sarah for joining us here on the program as well. You might remember her call from Season 12, Episode 8, in the state of Illinois.
Hey there, this is Sarah, and I'm calling from Central Illinois. My story happened, it was probably about 7 years ago. It was late at night, probably around 11. And I want to say it was like late fall. So I was living at my parents' house, and they're surrounded by cornfields. They live out in the country. And I was on the bed, talking on the phone to my boyfriend, now my husband, and my dog was on the bed with me. He was sound asleep. And all of a sudden, like, I heard a rumble. We have planes that constantly, like, will fly over, like, crop duster planes that spray the fields. And it was, like, that noise that shook the house. And I was like, what the? So then my dog, it woke him up. And then all of a sudden, there was a light shining in my window, like, as if somebody shone a searchlight in my window, which my curtains were drawn, so it was strong enough to, like, shine through my curtains. And I got through my pants, so I was super scared, and I waited about a minute, get up the nerve to actually walk to my window and look out. And when I looked out, which my window faced the cornfield, I could see something, like, light out in the field, like, quite a bit off into the distance at that time. But I couldn't really tell what it was, and I mean, there was no reason for, like I said, we have like crop dusting planes that will fly over during the day, but there was no reason for them to be out that late at night, and definitely not like shining a light in my window like that, because yeah, it was weird. Could have been a plane, but it freaked me out, and I had a very hard time going back to bed. I literally went and woke my parents up, and I was like, I just saw something. And of course, my boyfriend was not with me, and he couldn't do anything, but it was weird. And my dog, like I said, it woke him up. So it was definitely enough of a rumble to actually wake a dog that was sound asleep. So yeah, that's what I got for you. Thanks.
Thank you, Sarah, for the phone call. All right, folks, it's time for one last break, but we'll be right back with more right after this.
That goes so fast.
And of course, it's...
interview because it was live. Let me just correct one thing you said.
Now up next, we hear from a mystery caller from Season 20, Episode 41 in the state of Wisconsin. Please welcome Anonymous to the program. And this is another where I will be featuring some of the original commentary from that episode.
Hello. It took me a while to actually want to call and share my story just because it sounds so incredibly odd. And I have a hard time telling people because I don't know if they actually believe me or not. But I myself, I'm originally from Yellowstone National Park. I moved out to good old Wisconsin near Elmwood. Anyhow, we were on our way home from a football game, and it was probably about maybe 12:30, quarter to one in the morning. It was very late, and I always want to make sure that my eyes are out for any type of deer that come running out of, in this case, any type of the corn. And as I'm driving, it just so happened that something in the middle of the cornfield, when my headlights hit it, at first it looked like a pole. I've never seen it in the field before. And as I'm staring at this thing, the head of whatever this was turned around and it looked in my direction, but it was so far off I couldn't see like facial features or anything like that. And I thought maybe I was going crazy, because keep in mind that the corn is at least 6.5-7 feet tall. You could see the shoulders and the overall the head of whatever this was, and the body itself kind of had a sheen of some sort. Almost best way to describe it is like what frog skin looks like. And I know it wasn't a frog. And I know it wasn't a pole. And again, growing up in Yellowstone National Park, I know what a bear looks like. I know what a deer looks like, an elk, etc. I have never seen anything like this before. I have no clue what the heck that thing was. And as I'm looking at this thing and I'm going by it, I have to be going at least 45, 50 miles an hour. I was like, no, there's no way that I'm seeing this. And I have three girls my daughter's about 10, 11 year old, and all of a sudden they start screaming at the top of their lungs. They're like, oh my God, Dad, oh my God, what is that? I'm getting goosebumps as I'm telling the story. So I did what anybody else would do. I slammed on my brakes, and the curious person that I am, I put it in reverse. You know, I probably went back a good maybe 20 feet to see what it was. And as I'm trying to get it back into my headlights, it seemed to have maybe bent over, or I don't know. The curious person that I am, again, I had a bottle of a Gatorade that I had bought at the football game, and I got out of the vehicle. Yeah, I know, kind of a moron. I threw it in the direction of whatever this was, thinking maybe I might be able to get it flushed out or get a better look at what it was. But as I'm doing that and I threw it, the girls are still screaming at me, Dad, get in the car, Dad, get in the car. So I get back into my vehicle. I drive home, and we're maybe 4 or 5 minutes away from home. And being so late, my dogs are a little skittish. And if they hear a car pull up, you know, they bark just to let us know that somebody's on the property. So we get inside the house. Everything's good. I go upstairs. I'm getting my situated, and the girls are doing their things. We're probably home for maybe a good 10, 15 minutes. And all of a sudden, the dogs are barking again downstairs. I'm like, what the heck's going on? I was like, oh, I bet you they left their coats or something in the car and they went back to go get it. You know, I didn't even really think about it. I get up early in the morning. That was a Friday night, so I'm getting ready for work. And as I'm leaving my house, out in the middle of nowhere, that bottle of Gatorade was sitting on my deck. And if I tell you, I'm even telling you this story right now, I'm like literally sick to my stomach even thinking about it. Anyhow, I just wanted to share my story and thank you again.
Thank you, caller. It brought the bottle back, which means it can remember, which means it can carry things, which means it knows where our caller lives. Now, I want to think this is some sort of prank. I hope that it was some sort of prank. Maybe some high school kids in some sort of makeshift costume out in the cornfields messing around. Maybe they recognized our caller, and when he tossed the bottle, they saw the perfect opportunity to take the prank one step further. And I'll admit it's a good one if that's how it all went down. A prank of epic proportions. But there are a lot of ifs there. And we already know the state of Wisconsin to be a hotbed for unidentifiable creatures. So could this have been another of those? The Dog Man or the Beast of Bray Road? Now, there have been several accounts of that creature holding or carrying roadkill. So I suppose it would be possible that the creature could carry the bottle back to our caller's house. But given the exact location of this rather unusual encounter, Elmwood, Wisconsin, I think I have another suspect to add to the lineup. Aliens. And that's not just a guess in the dark. There's long been an alien presence in and around this tiny Badger State town. Or at least, that's how the story goes.
Elmwood, Wisconsin, population 820. It's a village in Pierce County and one of three towns that claim to be the UFO capital of Wisconsin. That's because since the 1970s, there have been many reported sightings of unidentified flying objects in the sky. The most famous sightings happened in 1975 and 76, when police officer George Wheeler reported seeing multiple UFOs near the rock quarry just outside of town. That caused more people to take notice.
People started talking about it because why would an officer have anything? He doesn't have anything to gain. His whole reputation is at stake.
Now, Elmwood celebrates its unique encounters with the unknown with the UFO Days Festival every year in late July. In addition to community shows and festival events, UFO Days also includes tours of different sighting locations in the area.
We're not state football players every year. We're not at state basketball players every year, so that would be our claim to fame, would be that the UFO sightings in our town celebration.
Now that clip courtesy of WQOW, ABC News 18, out of Eau Claire. Home to the Moose Lady. So there you have it. Could it have been one of the pilots of these many UFOs that are seen in that area? Whatever it was, caller, I'm so glad you decided to share it here with us. An instant classic, no doubt. Another big thanks to our anonymous caller. And folks, that takes us to tonight's final entry. From season 19, episode 48, in the state of North Carolina, please welcome Andrew to tonight's episode.
Hey, Derek. My name is Andrew Faircloth, and I'm from Sampson County, North Carolina. I wanted to tell you about a story that my dad has always told me. They grew up on a farm in Sampson County, the same farm that I grew up on. And my uncle, he used to ride a Harley-Davidson dirt bike around the farm late at night. And one night, my dad was in bed asleep, and my uncle comes bursting in the door and said, "You got to come with me, you got to come with me." And my dad jumps on the back of his dirt bike and underwear, and they ride out across the farm, and they're going down all these dirt paths around a giant cornfield. And unfortunately, Dad didn't see anything. When he got my uncle to calm down, my uncle told him that he had been out riding a circle around the field, and that there had been this glow of light that was hovering just above the corn stalks. And he had actually chased it down the field. It followed him, like parallel to the dirt road. And at some point, after he had chased it for a while, it finally lifted up high enough to go over the trees in the distance and went out of sight. And that's when he ran to get my dad. He described it as like a beach ball that was glowing with bright gold light. And he even said that he could see the shadows of the corn stalks on the road as he drove beside it. Well, after all this happened, a couple of days later was Sunday, and my dad and his brother and my grandpa and grandma went to visit their aunt, my grandma's sister, for Sunday lunch. And they were all excited to tell her about this story. And she was just sitting there, all surprised. And finally, it came out that her and her husband had seen the same glowing ball go over their town of Ultraville later that night. And nobody could explain it. I just thought it was interesting. I wanted to share it with you. I love, love, love your show. Thank you for everything, man. Bye.
And a huge thanks to Andrew for rounding us out here this evening with a real terrifying entry. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this special episode. Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Be sure to like us on our social media pages, like us on YouTube, follow our Discord server, and leave us a rate and review wherever you can do such a thing. Don't forget, you can catch us every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern on the UNX Digital Network. Just visit unxnetwork.com to tune in. And finally, this evening, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.eg Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Now, folks, I'll catch you back here on Tuesday with a brand new installment. But until then, you know what to do. You keep it spooky, and have a good night.